Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Money and Change. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we're here with Stu Scheer. Hello, Stu.
Hi, Ira. How are you doing today?
It's really nice outside. I'm very much enjoying it.
Yeah, it's springtime in Ohio, too. You know, no snow, no ice, just rain. But anyhow, it's a balmy 72 degrees, and that sure beats what we had at least a month ago. So that's good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot of stuff to cover today and a lot of interesting information, especially for the millennials. But, you know, let's get on with the shout outs here. A big shout out to WCET FM 101.7 in Columbia, South Carolina, and that's Columbia Talk. And if you're in the Columbia area and you want to listen to Money and Change, hey, tune in and listen to FM 101.7 in Columbia. Also, a big shout out to the University of Findlay. And you can get a hold of them at www.findlay.edu. And if you get a chance, go there to their website and watch some of the videos about what's going on around campus. They've got some very good courses to take there, very good professors, reasonable cost. And I think if you have a student that's graduating here in another month, they might want to take a look at the University of Findlay. And also, if they're into sports, especially football, basketball, and baseball, you want to have them check out the University of Findlay. Excellent programs. Also, a big shout out to Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. And if you go to the Money and Change website at https://moneyandchange.weebly.com, and you go back to the section of Friends of Money and Change, you will see Rusty Ducks Custom Pens, and there are slides there in the slideshow that show all the types of pens that he makes. They're all custom, and I'll tell you what, if you're a Second Amendment lover, he has a beautiful Second Amendment pen that is out of sight, and it's on his website at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens on Facebook, and he's developing his new website, and I told him that I would go ahead and show his pens on the Friends of Money and Change, and he has all different kinds of pens that he produces. Check them out, because I think you're really going to love that Second Amendment pen. Also, check out D52 Creative Services, Mary Frances Barnes Rodriguez. She does a lot of good stuff, especially in graphic design, illustration, strategic development, marketing plans, target audience development and research for associated media channel opportunities. I mean, she does it all. And a big shout out to my friends Scott and Susie Phillips from the American Wood Shop. And I've been invited out to the wood shop for their anniversary party for the 24th year, and they're going into their 25th season. And I've been out to the wood shop before. Fantastic place, and Scott and Susie are fantastic woodworkers. You want to check them out on public radio and TV. It's called the American Wood Shop, and it is produced at WBGSU, Bowling Green State University, and it goes out nationwide on public broadcasting. So you want to check out the videos if you're a woodworker or you just like to watch people work with their hands with wood. Also, a big shout out to Show Us, Don't Tell Us with Skills Mike and Papa Bear, and a big shout out to Papa Bear with his radio show that's on, what, 3 days a week?
Yeah, I think that's on WC. Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is when he does his What's Out There show. Yep.
Yep, and it's a pretty good show, so you want to listen in. And also he has Pete Kling in with him on the show. A big shout out to Pete. Also, a big shout out to Open Eyes Network, and I think I know somebody there.
Why, that would be myself.
Yourself?
That would be, yes.
What's going on?
Well, I have all kinds of great stuff available for everybody over there. If you guys want to check out any of the archives of any of the shows that I do, that includes Open Eyes, Money and Change, Brothers at Arms, the Positude Podcast, and Adventures in Autism. You guys can see all the archives over there at openeyesnetwork.com. You can also find all of those things on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/C/Open Eyes Network.
Hey, was that a plug or what?
It was indeed.
Ah, okay. All right. And a big shout out to Michael Vera at L&M Radio Network. And we've been doing this show for over 5 years on L&M Radio Network. And a big shout out to Michael Vera for having us do the show. We originally started out only doing a half an hour, and then we went to a full hour, which is fantastic. I really appreciate the opportunity for Michael to let me get on the air. Also, we have a disclaimer, we always do that before we start the show. It's just one of those legal things, you have to do. The information contained in this presented material is from the posting of news agencies on the internet and are not necessarily the views or opinions of the owners of this program. We are not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. The information provided is not offered as financial advice, financial planning, or for investment purposes, so you want to use this information at your own risk. Now, from the currency chart today at XE.com, the euro is what we always start out against the U.S. dollar. It went down 2 cents. A couple of weeks ago, it was $1.21. Now it's down to $1.19 to the U.S. dollar. Also, the Great British Pound, it dropped 4 cents. It's down to $1.35. The Australian dollar stayed the same at 75 cents. The Canadian dollar stayed the same at 77 cents. The Swiss franc, it's at parity with the U.S. dollar. It's at a dollar to franc. Situation. Japanese yen stayed the same at 0.9 cents, and the Chinese yuan is at 15.7 cents. The Kuwaiti dinar dropped a penny to $3.31. Ethereum, last week it was $629.85. It's up to $758.73. And then Bitcoin, it was $8,852.45 last week. It's now up to $9,918 just for one Bitcoin. Gold, well, it dropped a little bit. It's at $1,311.59. It dropped basically a whole $6. Silver is at $16.42. And if you're looking to invest in silver because you can't afford gold, you might want to consider it. But what you want to do is, if you're getting into any type of precious metals, make sure you pay down your debt, put some money aside, get some long-term food, have water storage and ways to purify it, have your vitamins and, suitable clothing and shelter for the season. And also make sure you have your meds. I mean, you have to have your medications. And then if you have any money left over and you want to go ahead and put it into precious metals, that's fine. Just do your research first. And there are plenty of different companies out there. But don't get the ones that say that we'll just give you a paper certificate and we'll hold the gold. I mean, that's like giving your house keys to somebody you don't know. And you leave for a couple days, you come back, and everything's gone in the house. You don't want to do that. Make sure you have a reputable dealer. I don't care if you use Kitco.com, Silver.com, APMEX.com, or any of the others. Check them out first to see what their security arrangements are and their prices. Always check the prices. And if you want to get into gold and you really look at it as a good investment, get the 10th ounce coins. Don't get the bars, they're too heavy. But the 10th ounce coins are good for, bartering, trading, whatever. Also, you want to take a look at silver, and usually the Silver Eagles or the Canadian Maple Leafs or the Austrian Philharmonics, they're all very good and pure silver. And, you know, there have been reports that silver is going to take off and go up. I don't know. All I know is it's poor man's gold. And if you can't afford gold, then look at silver. Okay, going on, we have platinum. And platinum dropped $5 from last week. It's down to $903.63 an ounce. Palladium, it also dropped just about $20 or $23. It's down to $963.33. So, you know, if you want to check it out, go to XE.com and take a look at their historical currency rates. Also, you know,
that's as opposed to their hysterical currency rates.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to get any in any hysterical list. That's not good. You'll probably laugh yourself to death. But, you know, you want to take a look at, you know, how the rates are and what they charge, because there's going to be an upcharge for them servicing your account.
It's really important to watch the cycles. I mean, you can kind of guesstimate where things are going just based on the history of it. There really is a very distinct cycle that goes with these products, isn't there?
Well, yeah, and you want to buy low, sell high.
Right.
And I remember getting it for as low as $15, maybe 23 cents an ounce. And fine, I bought it. Didn't buy a lot, just what I could afford. And I went ahead and got it, and it's in secure storage, and I can access it. You know, if you have somebody that gives you a paper certificate, and you have to go to their site to redeem it, and the market's crashing everything, and then you go there and you just happen to be somewhere in line and you finally get up to the window and you hand them the certificate and they say, sorry, we're out. You know, there have been rumors that gold and silver certificates have been sold 100 times over.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, actually, I had a question that came in from one of the listeners. I guess this would be a really good chance to toss it your way. They were wondering, as far as the coins that you can buy, like the Hamilton Mint coins and that kind of stuff, you know, where you can buy, they say it's the 1 ounce silver coins and that kind of thing. Do you think that those kind of things are a decent investment to get into, or should those be avoided and just go straight to something like straight silver, like you get through APMEX or whatever?
It's a toss-up. As long as the silver coin that you get is 99.995% pure. If it's something like a collectible, you might get some more money for it. But in a bartering situation, they're just going to look at it as silver.
Right, exactly. It's going to have the value of the silver itself, not the fact that it's a collector or you know, minted in a certain way or whatever the case may be. They'll just look at it by weight and purity, right?
Right. That's all they're going to do. If you go ahead and you get, let's say you have enough money and you get a bar of silver, which is, what is it, 90 pounds?
Right around there, yeah. I think it's 90, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got to watch out for that, because it may look like gold on the outside, but a shady trader could melt it down and insert tungsten and then pour gold back on top to finish out a perfect mold and fake the numbers or whatever the purity numbers are on there. And here you go, and you take it and you put it in storage, and then you go to use it sometime as a hedge investment on calamity situations like the stock market crashes, the banks are closing or whatever. You want to have something to barter with. And, you know, you want to make sure that you just have to make sure that your gold is gold. And some places have been known to fake things. And APMEX and Kitco and silver.com, they don't. So stay away from the certificates and make sure what you get is what you paid for.
Again, the idea of the reputable dealer.
Very reputable dealer. I had a shipment one time that was supposed to be a two-day shipment. And for some reason, the post office messed up with it. And it got stuck in St. Louis for an extra 2 days.
A lot of things get stuck in St. Louis.
Yeah. That's one place you don't really want to get stuck in. Especially during the summer, because it's hot.
It is indeed hot and humid.
I mean, you could take a chainsaw and cut through the humidity there. Well, you could do it with a butter knife, too. I mean, it's just, no. You want to have 6 changes of clothes, and if you go outside, if you really want to go outside. So, you know, make sure it's a reputable dealer and check that out. And, you know, the economy right now, hey, it seems like it's going really good. And yet we have people that are saying, oh, my goodness, we're going to have a collapse. It's bound to collapse. And the doomsayers. You have to watch the markets just about every day, maybe twice a day, to see how they're doing. And if you want to have a hedge on a tumbling economy, then you want to have gold and silver, palladium, platinum, even copper is going to be worth an investment. But be careful when you do it. You know, pay down your bills first, you know. Don't just say, well, I'll just go ahead and get it and I'll get one of those certificates. No, you don't want to do that. So, you know, and we're talking about gold now. You know, there was an article by Peter Korzun, K-O-R-Z-U-N, and it was the Strategic Culture Foundation. And his article said, gold leaving U.S. vaults, sign of upcoming currency war and armed conflict. And he said the Turkish government has made the decision to repatriate all of its gold reserves that are currently in the U.S. Federal Reserve System. And overall, Turkey was storing about 220 tons, which was about $25.3 billion. And it repossessed it back in April. And then you take a look at Venezuela. Oh, you want to talk about a bad economy. You know, I'll trade you a dog for some food or, you know, whatever. Gee, you have any toilet paper? No, I have banana leaves, though. It's that bad down there. And people are leaving the country to try to get food or even toilet paper at a very expensive price in bolivars. And they're also trying to go to a cryptocurrency. And I don't think that's going to float either. But anyhow, Venezuela repatriated its gold in 2012. And the Netherlands also retrieved its 122.5 tons of gold that were in the U.S. vaults. And then Germany brought home 300 metric tons of gold stashed in the U.S. in 2017. And it took 4 years for Germany to get it back. And Austria and Belgium have reviewed the possibility, according to the report, of taking similar measures. You know, and a few people, according to the reports, believe that the U.S. Treasury assurances are that they have 261 million ounces, roughly 8,100 tons, in official gold reserves that are stored in Fort Knox and other places, and that it's fully audited and accounted for. Well, just remember this. The Federal Reserve has never fully and independently been audited. And there's pressure out there for a full independent audit of all gold reserves. And, you know, Congress will say, oh, we'll allow a couple people to walk in and look at it. I think Harry Truman did back in the 50s. And then it was done again later on. And I couldn't tell you the president that did that. Oh, yeah, the gold's there. Well, what happens if the vaults are emptying? What if they just have a stack of gold in the front? You can't look towards the back of the vault to see what's behind it. What if the gold bars are gold on the outside and tungsten on the inside? And that was actually done. It's a worry, okay? Do we really have the gold that we have? And some people are saying the gold bars that the U.S. claims to hold are of low purity and don't conform to the international industry standards. And that even if the U.S. has the amount of gold it claims, it would not be acceptable for trading. And other countries are pulling their gold out of the Federal Reserve banks. Russia and China are boosting their reserves. They're buying gold. And I eventually think they're going to force everybody to go back to the gold standard one way or another. And gold actually is disappearing out of mines because the production is less. It costs more to extract it than it does to mine it. You have to extract it out. You have to melt it down, process it. Cost a lot to do that. It's more than it's actually worth doing. Silver's getting scarce too. And that has a lot of practical uses in industry, especially in the computer industry. So what's this all going to do if the Federal Reserve is finally audited and you end up with a low amount of gold? What's that going to do to the price of gold? It'll drive it up. And gold is being a scarce commodity anymore. Now, Simon Black at sovereignman.com had an article on the coming boom in gold prices. And he said in June 1884, a local farmer named Jan Garrett Banches, B-A-N-T-J-E-S, discovered gold on his property in a quiet corner of the South African Republic. And no one had any idea at the time. Banches' farm was located on a vast geological formation known as the Witwatersrand Basin. That's a mouthful. And it was the largest gold reserves that was ever found. And with a few months, other local farmers were discovering gold and kicking off a full-fledged rush. And about a decade later, South Africa became the gold producer in the world, the biggest. And the city of Johannesburg grew from absolutely nothing to a thriving boomtown. A few decades later, in 2016, the same area produced only 166 tons of gold. When back in 1970, it was 1,000 tons of gold out of the ground. And so here we have the production declining, and it declined up to 83%. Well, what does this do? Well, it creates constant need for mining companies to explore for more and more major discoveries. And the problem is, it's not happening. The mining companies aren't finding any more vast deposits. And if you look back to the 70s, 80s, and 90s, in every one of those decades, the industry found at least one 50-plus million-ounce gold deposit, at least 10 30-plus million-ounce deposits, and countless 5 to 10 million-ounce deposits. But if you look at the last 15 years, we found no 50 million deposits, no 30 million-ounce deposits, and very few 15 million-ounce deposits. So the bottom line is gold discoveries are dwindling, and that's driving up the price. And right now, it's kind of artificially held low. I'd like to see what would happen if they take off the constraints to see how it would go. I mean, gold could go up to $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 an ounce. But when you take a look at all of this, you know, the gold price is at an 11-year low. Investors have lost interest in mining companies eager to cut the cost have pared back their exploration budgets as a result. So they go from boom to bust. Well, you come to today and you take a look at things, and there's a deep concern that inflation is coming or has already arrived, and it's completely valid. Inflation is a huge problem, and the traditional hedge in times of inflation is gold. So when demand for gold really starts to heat up, the supply won't be there, and that means that the prices could soar. And you take a look at it when the gold market's in a frenzy, the small miners with great deposits tend to be acquired at ridiculous low prices by the major miners. And Simon is saying, I'm not suggesting you load up on junior miners. You can make a lot of money if you know what you're doing, and lose a lot of money if you don't know what you're doing. And these tiny high-risk companies are often run by sharks and con men. So you want to be careful about that. Fortunately, you know, there's always safer ways to take advantage of this imbalance between supply and demand in the gold market. And physical coins are an easy option. We've talked about that. Gold coins typically sell at a price that's higher than the market price of gold to account for the work involved in minting the coin. And the price difference is known as the premium. And when the gold becomes popular, premiums often rise too. And this means you can make money from the rise in gold prices as well as the increased premiums. So you want to avoid anything obscure. Stick to the most popular gold coins like the Canadian maple leaves or the silver eagles from the United States or the Philharmonics from Austria. I'm not suggesting you run out right now and invest in gold. Do your research first. And then once you've done your research, then proceed wisely with what you do and do not buy anything with paper certificates. But gold is going to go up. Silver is going to go up. Inflation is going to go up. I think the Fed was going to go ahead and raise the rates at least 3 more times this year. And that's scary. We're going to have more inflation. And then you take a look at when you go to the grocery store, look at your prices. Go around the outside aisles. Check your prices. Stay out of the inside aisles. That's where they make their money. Take a look at your produce. Take a look at your milk. Take a look at the meats, cheeses. And do that for a while. And if the prices start inching up a nickel this week, a nickel next week, you know you've got inflation. It's just hidden, and it's well hidden. So you want to check into that. Well, you know, our buddies at Goldman have had problems. You know, they were recently fined $110 million for improperly rigging the FX market, which is foreign exchange market. And first it was the Deutsche Bank and then BNP Paribas. And it goes on and on. The guys that were in the London LIBOR offering rate. Well, they got fined. And to them, it's only a slap on the wrist. You know, it's just a slap on the wrist. Nobody goes to jail. In Iceland, they did. And some of them are still in the island where they just look out and see nothing but water and another island with nothing but volcanoes and snow. It's a place you don't want to be. Well, the big banks, what needs to happen is if this is directed by somebody high up in the bank and they can trace it to different management levels, then guess what? They need to be prosecuted and put in jail. That's the way it goes. Because all it does is punish us. Our money's barely worth anything now compared to what it was back in the 1950s. I mean, $50 worth of groceries back in the 1950s would last you for a month, maybe more. You know, babies were born for $100.
Yeah, I remember when we could spend about $100 and have the shopping cart completely full of food. And now spending $200, the bottom's barely full. It's crazy.
Well, it depends on what you're buying. I mean, I was at
well, I'm just talking even just the staples, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was at Kroger's today, and there was a lady in front of me. She had a grocery bill of like $200. And I'm like, oh, I can't take that. And when I go, it's probably maybe 3 times a week because it's just down the street. And all I have to do is just get a little bit of yogurt here, maybe some bread, you know, some cheese, some cold meat, stuff like that. And I try to avoid staying out of the center aisles. I mean, yeah, you're going to need paper towels. You're going to need toilet paper. Eventually, you'll need some cleaning supplies. But, you know, you go in there, and my God, they've got rows of their products that they're pushing you to buy. And then they have the old tried and true, is what I like to call them, products. And I really don't like their products. I like the tried and true. If I want to get pickles, I want Vlasic.
Right, right.
You know, or Mount Olive or something like that. The Kroger's pickles, some of them are good. Some of them, forget it. And they say, well, oh, it's made by the same manufacturers. Yeah, but what is the recipe that's being done?
Yeah, there's cost cutting that's involved with it. So
tell me about it.
I mean, the only ones that I've found that have been comparable to like the name brand style has been Meyer brand stuff, and they're not even available, you know, everywhere. It's kind of a northern Midwest kind of thing, but they're probably the closest that I've been able to find. But you know, for our family, we spend upwards of you know, sometimes $500 or $600 a month on food supplies, because we have a family of five that we feed. So it, you know, the more you have, the more expensive it gets too. So,
well, I used to eat like a family of five, and I only had one. And so now I'm on a reduced diet. It's amazing when you go to the doctor, you know. Well, actually, I got a PA, which is a physician's assistant. So I'm learning to live with that. She may be good. She may not be good. I don't know yet. But, you know, you have to eat less. Yeah, I am. I've drastically reduced it from 10 years ago. But you stay out of the middle aisles, you're fine. You know, go ahead and get your produce and your milk and butter and cheese and eggs and all that kind of stuff. Just stay out of the center.
Well, and the more from scratch, quote unquote, that you can do, the cheaper it's going to be in the long run too. The more processed foods that you buy, the more expensive it's going to get. You know, the more it's already been processed, the more spending you're going to have to deal with. So, you know, if you can have time to, you know, spend an hour cooking your meal yourself, as opposed to just popping something in the microwave or doing a quick up meal or something like that, you know, you're going to save a little bit of money in the long run too. So, you know, you get it down as bare as you can, if that makes sense.
Yeah. There goes my steamer meals. I can't use the microwave. And they're pretty good. I like the teriyaki, which is pretty good. And I add a little extra teriyaki sauce to, shall we say, sweeten the mix a little bit. But, yeah, you have to watch how you shop and, you know, go ahead and use the coupons. Beware of store brands unless you've actually tried them before. I've been to Meijer's, and we have one about 7 miles away. And if I'm down in that area, I'll go there. And I don't have a problem with that. But generally for me, it's Kroger's. And if I can't find something at Kroger's, which is basically 3 blocks away, then I have to drive all the way across town for another 15 minutes, and I get to Wally World, and sometimes I don't like the stuff that they have. So, you know, you just have to check things out and budget your money better. You really have to. You know, remember when we used to talk about Freddie Mac, Freddie and Fannie?
Oh, yeah.
And all the problems that they were into? Man, these guys have done something dumb. Really, really stupid, 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 dumb. There was a report in Zero Hedge about Freddie Mac launches a 3% down mortgage with no income restrictions. All you need is 3% down. You know, many years ago, it used to be 20% down. And then they came up with something about, 2008, that was, oh, we'll give you 125% on your house that you purchase, which means, you know, basically you get the house, low interest, and you may or may not be able to pay it back. A lot of people didn't, and they stuck the banks with the homes and the loan companies with the homes. So here's Freddie and Fannie have to learn something. You just can't give a home away. And 3% down, yeah, it's a little bit. But you're going to run into the same problems that you ran into before. And according to the report, it said Freddie Mac last rolled out a conventional mortgage that only required a 3% down payment for certain borrowers. And the problem is that modest retirement of the mortgage program had back in 2015 meant that most Americans who needed access would be excluded. And the program, which was described at the time, was designed for qualified, being the key word, low and moderate income borrowers, in other words, millennials, and it saw limited progress over the past few years, according to FHFA Director Mel Watt. And so now they're going to do a 3%. Sales weren't growing fast enough because while putting 3% down may not have been especially challenging for most Americans, having one of the modest income required, you know, to go along with it, and that's what it was. Freddie Mac announced on Thursday it was going to supercharge its 3% down program and launch a widespread expansion of the offering when it announced that it is rolling out a new conventional 3% down program. Now, this isn't going to take place until June. So you want to check that out. I believe it's the end of June. You can check your banks on that to see if it's available. It's July 29th, 2018, and it's the Home One mortgage will be available, and that'll be July 29th, 2018. I don't know. That scares me. Every time somebody does something like that, and they're giving something away basically for nothing, 3%. It's kind of scary. And, you know, a lot of people, when they buy their homes, they buy them out for 30 years. Think of all the interest that you pay over 30 years. When I did mine, I said, I'm only going to do it for 15. And in doing so, yeah, I had higher payments. But I haven't had a house payment in 5 years. And at $950 a month, that's a savings. I had to bite the bullet, you know, for the first 15 years. But as soon as I had the house paid off, that was great. And I think that's the best way to go if you're going to buy a house. Now, if you really can't afford it and you need to string it out, yeah, you're going to go the 30 years. But then what happens if you purchase too much? Use your credit cards, outspend your credit, and you have to get new cards and expand your credit even more and more and more and more. What does that leave you with? In debt. Past the wazoo. And, you know, speaking of debt, also in Zero Hedge, there was one that was about the millennials and student debt. And the millennials with student debt have negative net wealth. And there was a group called the Young Invincibles, and they released a report, The Financial Health of Young America, Measuring Generational Declines Between Baby Boomers and Millennials. And this report includes cross-generational study of the financial well-being of millennials today versus baby boomers. That's kind of like us, when they were in their adolescence. And the update covers the economic challenges facing millennials ages 25 to 34 between 2013 and 2016. And for the first time, young adults ages 25 to 34 with college degrees and student loans have a median net wealth of negative $1,900, according to the Young Invincible Group. And the report states that the lost generation had a positive net wealth of $9,000 in 2013. But since, the accumulation of debt has turned America's future leaders into the walking dead. And the report update shows new disturbing trends for the millennials, including for the first time, young adults who graduated college with student debt have negative net wealth. And today's young adults with student debt have a median net wealth of negative $1,900, and that's down from a median net wealth of $9,000 in 2013. Home ownership among young people continues to trend downward. Well, they can't afford it. And a primary means for families to build their transfer of wealth and home ownership among the young people dipped by 3%. And then you take a look at other information from like Credit Suisse. They said one in four millennials rely on their parents to pay some bills, even while working full time. And I know that. I had a friend of mine that basically paid his son's bills while he was working a factory job. He just couldn't make enough. And so Pop shelled out. Oh, you need a car to get to work or a truck to get to work? Okay, I'll buy it. You can pay me back whenever. Oh, you need to live at home because you can't afford your apartment? Okay, you can live in the basement. So he gave him his man cave. It's not good. The economy's not good. You know, back when we were growing up and we graduated from you know, high school, we went into college or we went into work, you had a sense of, okay, pay your bills, live modestly. But now, you know, you find out statistically parents are paying cell phone 53% of it, car insurance 31%, car payment 30%, utilities 30%, rent and mortgage 27%, and student loans 18%, and credit cards 17%. And, you know, CNBC recently pointed out a study showing that nearly a quarter of millennials who are fully employed report receiving help from their parents. And they had it all broken down. You know, schools ought to have classes in how to budget, how to run a household.
How to live within your means and not worry about what the neighbors are doing.
That's right. Don't worry about the Joneses. Don't worry about them. And, you know, we're going to be running out of time here. I got a few more things to talk about. I think next week we'll do the crash in 1929 and can it happen again? Because people do not remember their history. And if you remember your history, you can avoid the pitfalls that are coming next. So we'll do that one next week. That's a tease. We'll definitely do that one next week. And we're going to talk about some stuff that happened in Finland where they had a guaranteed income. It didn't work either. You know, socialism is great when you're using somebody's money. But when that money's no longer available, everything goes downhill from there. Well,
I think we can see that kind of thing coming down the pipe for Commie Florida.
Yeah.
Commie-fornia, you know.
how about California?
Yeah, that'd be the one, Commie-fornia.
Oh, Commie-fornia, yes. That state, Moonbeam is running it, and it is just, I don't know. I've got friends who live out in California. And they're sensible about it, but the cost, I mean, if they sold their home at Redondo Beach, they'd probably sell it for $3 million and come back here with a ton of money and buy a comparable house.
Yeah.
For, you know, maybe
a couple hundred grand, 300, maybe,
yeah, you know, 300,000 minimal. But since they're working for Disney Corp, they're making some decent money. But it's costing them to live out there in California, Commie-fornia. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But, you know, there's an emergency drill that's going on up in Wisconsin. I just learned it today, and I, forget what it's called, but the troops are going to be going door to door in certain counties and handing out literature and stuff. And it's something about the power being down, an emergency where the power grid is totally down. And they're going to be talking to people. Well, the power grid won't be down, but they're going to be talking to people about how they can prepare for this. And if you go to moneyandchange.weebly.com and you go back to the Prepping You list page, check it out. There's a lot to do. And, you know, you want to check out Thrive Life Food or Emergency Essentials and learn how to cook regularly with freeze-dried food. Yeah, it's a little bit more expensive, but the stuff lasts for 25 years. You know, you want to purchase and inspect fire extinguishers. Do you have a fire extinguisher in your house?
We do, yep.
I've got three. And they're all strategically located where I need them.
Yep.
Do you have a survival library?
I do. Yep. Most definitely.
Is it on your phone? Is it in your Kindle?
No. Actually, I have printouts of things and they're all in my bug out bag area.
Hey, now that's good. You know, and you take a look at, are you allowed to have backyard chickens in your place?
Not here, but only because we have a landlord that doesn't want that kind of thing. But they're allowed in our area. Yeah.
Well, you know what was hilarious, at least for me? Hulk Hogan, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
The Hulkster had a house in Bel Air Beach. And every time I go down to Florida, I'd always drive by his house. And it was kind of like a French villa, and it had high concrete walls around it. Beautiful place, fantastic neighborhood. And the neighbors, well, they thought, okay, he was fine. He was married at the time. And you'd see the Hulkster riding his motorcycle up and down Gulf Boulevard sometimes or in his speedboat in the Intercoastal. And he was a real friendly guy. Well, he decided he was going to get some type of a French rooster. And he got it. And the neighbors didn't know anything about it.
They're loud.
Yeah, until about 5:30 in the morning when the sun comes up. And this rooster would somehow get up on this wall and it would just start crowing at the break of dawn and wake up the neighbors. So naturally, chickens weren't allowed in Bel Air, Florida. Especially when they have like $3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 million mansions around there. Well, he had a divorce and had to get rid of it and probably got rid of the rooster too. But, you know, you want to check to see if you can have backyard chickens. We can't have it here where I live. You couldn't even have a Vietnamese pot-bellied pig. That happened several years ago and they made the people move or get rid of the pig. That was their choice. But you want to study on how to survive different events. You have to. You know, do you have a two-story ladder for inside a room? You might need one. Do you have first aid kits? Jumper cables in the car? If you have little ones, do you have supplies for them like diapers and wipes and food? You know, you want to prep for your pets. Sign up for a first aid kit. I'm serious. Prepare. And we've been harping on this for 5 years. Because when the stuff hits the fan, you're in trouble. Well, let's get to the new Wrinkle City Gazette. It just came out. It's posted at moneyandchange.weebly.com back in the humor section. And, you know, we talk about educating yourself. Well, the Wrinkle City schools have been really bad. I mean, we're talking piss poor. Well, the following questions were on last year's GED equivalent examination. Well, the question was, what's a turbine? And the answer was something an Arab or sheik wears on his head. And once an Arab boy reaches puberty, he removes his diaper and wraps it around his head. Well, another question was, how is dew formed? Well, the sun shines down on the leaves and makes them perspire. In a democratic society, here's the question, how important are elections? And the answer was very important. Sex can only happen when a male gets an election.
Exactly.
And what does a varicose mean? It means nearby. And what is a seizure? Now you ought to know this one. What's a seizure?
What's that?
A Roman emperor. And the last one that we've got. No, I got two more. What's the word benign mean? Do you know what benign means?
Is it after B8?
You got it. Hey, you passed. Okay, and then name the four seasons.
Salt, pepper.
You've read the Wrinkle City Gazette.
No, I haven't.
Salt, pepper, mustard, and vinegar.
There you go.
All righty. Well, hey, that's all we've got this week. Donate to keep the show on the air. I know we kid around once in a while, but we do have a lot of good information out there. If you want to read the Wrinkle City Gazette, hey, it's back in the humor section. There's a lot of information at moneyandchange.weebly.com. So go to the website and check it out, and you can see our YouTube videos too. And with that, Ira, that's all I have for this week.
Sounds great, Stu. Thank you so much for everything that you do. Everybody out there, have a great week. Keep safe out there and have fun. We'll talk to you again real soon.